Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been laying, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
So I was talking to a guy, and when he found out that I'm a pastor, he said to me, "I don't go to church." And before I could respond, he added by way of explanation, "I'm already a good person." Yeah, right. So I couldn't resist. And I said, "Well, that may be for the best, because all the people at my church are sinners, me included." But I'm not sure he quite knew what to do with that. So I continued. I said, "Well, being a good person isn't really why we go to church. You know, you don't get anything for being a good person, and we wouldn't be able to pull it off anyway." And I expected that he would ask about not getting anything for being a good person, and I would be able to say something about grace, how eternal life and all the good things that God promises us in the Bible, we can't earn them. They are given to us by God as a free gift, by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. But that was not what he asked. Instead, he said, "Then why do you go to church?" Well, there were a lot of good answers I could have given to that question. I could have given a long-winded answer. As you know, we pastors like to give that kind of answer. But instead, I simply said, "Because it's true. The gospel message is true. Christ died for us. He rose again. We have a living Savior." Now think about that. If the gospel message is true, what is the smartest move you could make? If it's really true, what's the best move you could make? That's easy. Become a follower of Jesus. If he rose from the dead, then he is who he claimed to be. If he is who he claimed to be, then not only are his promises good, but he knows more about how things really are than anyone who has ever lived. Easter celebrates the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and it is worth celebrating. He lives, and because he lives, we can know God. Because he lives, we can know truth, with a capital T. Because he lives, we can have eternal life, and the life that we live here and now can be full of meaning and joy. That's a lot of freight for one holiday to carry. But the resurrection of Jesus is the most significant event in all of history. That is, of course, if it really happened. It did really happen. But I don't expect you to take my word for it. There's a mountain of historical evidence for the resurrection of Jesus. And if you come back next Sunday, I'll share some of that with you. That's called a teaser. Next Sunday is Thomas Sunday, named for one of Jesus' disciples, Doubting Thomas. On the evening of that first Easter, Jesus appeared to his disciples, alive again. Only Thomas wasn't with them. And when the others told Thomas, "We've seen the Lord, he's alive," Thomas refused to believe them. He said, "I'm not going to believe it unless I see it for myself." Well, a week later, Jesus visited them again. This time Thomas was there. He became a believer. So on Thomas Sunday, I like to make a case for the resurrection and tell you why you should believe and how you can be sure that Jesus did rise from the dead. But today, on Easter Sunday, I want to explore the meaning of the resurrection. What does it mean? God raised Jesus from the dead. So what? How does that change my life and my destiny? Before we can answer that, we need to be clear what it is we are talking about. There are a lot of crazy ideas about the resurrection of Jesus floating around out there. So we need to define our terms. When we say that God raised Jesus from the dead, what are we claiming? We are making the same claim made by the Gospels and the other New Testament writings. Namely, that Jesus of Nazareth died by crucifixion on a Friday, he was buried, and on Sunday he rose again and lives forever. He rose bodily from the dead. He rose bodily with the same body that he had before, including scars from the crucifixion. He was the same person he was before. He had a physical body. He ate. People touched him. So it's the same body, now transfused somehow with the glory of God, now empowered by the power of God, but the same body, same person, now alive again forevermore. That's what we mean by resurrection. And if anyone ever tells you that the resurrection of Jesus means anything else, then that person doesn't know what resurrection meant to first century Jews and doesn't understand the teachings of the New Testament. What we do not mean, I repeat, we do not mean by resurrection, is that Jesus' spirit lived on, went to heaven, appeared to his disciples, something like that, while his body rotted in the grave. We do not mean that. We also do not mean that Jesus' influence continued, although he was dead. We don't mean that. A 2017 survey by the BBC found that 1 in 4 British who identify as Christian do not believe Jesus rose physically from the dead. That's a serious problem. Because although these people claim to be Christians, they don't understand the most basic and important of Christian truths. John Updike, of all people, wrote a poem called 7 Stanzas at Easter that burns away some of this fog. Here are just 2 of those stanzas. "Make no mistake, if he rose at all, it was as his body. If the cell's dissolution did not reverse, the molecules re-knit, the amino acids rekindle, the church will fall." Let us not mock God with metaphor, analogy, sidestepping, transcendence, making of the event a parable, a sign painted in the faded credulity of earlier ages. Let us walk through the door. You may wonder, why insist that Jesus rose bodily from the dead? Does it really matter? Well, it matters to me because I have a body. May not be much, but it's the only one I've got. And if he's going to be my Savior, if he's going to give me eternal life, how's he going to do that if he didn't rise from the dead? I am a creature of this earth, a unity of body and soul. If God couldn't raise Jesus from the dead, if he didn't raise Jesus bodily from the dead, then why should I believe he could raise me and give me eternal life? And you may ask, well, why can't your soul just go to heaven and it doesn't matter what happens to your body? Who needs a body anyway? And to that I answer this. There's a lot more at stake here than just my eternal destiny. What is at stake is, does God win? The Bible says that God created everything that exists, all things seen and unseen. God created this physical world. He created our bodies. He designed them. And he looked at all of it and he said, it is good. Now, creation is subject to decay. It's marred by sin. We die. But this was not God's intention. And that's why Jesus came. It's why he died. It's why he rose again. But if God didn't raise Jesus from the dead, then death wins. Evil wins. Sin wins. If God only can save our souls but not our bodies, then at best God gets a draw. He can save the spiritual part of his creation, but the physical part is lost to him forever. What kind of God would that be? And why would anyone want to worship a wimpy God like that? I mean, really, what would be the point? The resurrection of Jesus is when God put his hand on creation and he said, this is mine. I created it. I will redeem it. Body and soul, you belong to me. And if I choose to give you life, I am going to do it right. Now, that is a God who is worthy of worship. That's the God of the Bible. That's the God that I know and have put my faith in. My God saves with a mighty hand. He gives life to the dead and calls into being things that do not exist. So do yourself a favor. Don't fudge and weasel when it comes to Easter. Believe it or don't. But don't mock God by watering down the teachings of the Bible. Other people will ask, well, why can't we believe in Jesus without the resurrection? I mean, Jesus was a good teacher. He said a lot of good things, like love your neighbor. Why can't we just do that and not worry about whether he rose from the dead or not? Some people want to say that. They're fans of Jesus, but not true believers. Here's the problem with that. First of all, Jesus made some very bold claims about who he is. He claimed to be God in the flesh. Consistently, he identified himself with the God of Israel, not only in his sayings scattered here and there throughout the Gospels, but also in his actions, such as forgiving sins, and in the stories that he told, his parables, Jesus claimed to be God. His enemies understood that very well. That's why they condemned him for blasphemy. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then he's not God. And if he's not God, but he claimed to be, then how is he a good teacher? And second, Jesus taught a lot of things that sound beautiful. Love your neighbor. Love your enemies. Forgive those who hurt you. Turn the other cheek. That sounds lovely. But how does it work out in real life? Tell you what, you go love your enemies, come back and tell me how that went. You see, here's my point. If Jesus rose from the dead, then he is God. And if he is God, then he knows a lot that I don't know. And so when he tells me to live a certain way, and I live that way, I can be confident that even if things aren't going particularly well for me at the time, I'm on the right path. But if he did not rise from the dead, if he is not God, then the only authority his teachings have is how well they work out. And a lot of times, that doesn't seem to be too well. So if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then you should love your friends, hate your enemies, and do unto others before they can do unto you. That's how the world tells us to live. Only if Jesus rose from the dead, only if he is God, does his way make more sense. Okay, so you see what we're talking about. You see what's at stake here. With that in mind, let us turn to our scripture reading and hear what God is saying to us today. John chapter 20 says that Mary Magdalene was the first on the scene the morning Jesus rose from the dead. I have a little sketch I want to share with you here. I love this picture because Mary is weeping in despair. She is heartbroken because she doesn't know that Jesus is alive and he is standing right behind her. Boy, is she in for a shock and a whole lot of joy. John 20 says Mary was the first on the scene. She saw the stone had been rolled back, and she went and she told Simon Peter and the other disciple, who was John, the author of this gospel, and they ran to the tomb, and John got there first and looked inside. Peter rushed right in, and what they saw was confusing because the body of Jesus wasn't there, but the cloth that he had been wrapped in was, and the little headpiece was neatly folded and laying to one side. And this was strange to them because they did not expect him to rise from the dead. That was an idea they had just never been able to get their minds around. So it's very confusing. But John says that when he saw it, he believed. Well, Peter and John left. They went back to where they were staying. Meanwhile, Mary Magdalene is making her way back to the tomb. And she goes and she weeps there for a while. And then at some point, she looks into the tomb and she sees two angels sitting where the body of Jesus had been. And they say to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" By the way, both the angels and Jesus call Mary Magdalene woman in this passage. They're not being rude. In that time and place, that was a sign of respect and gentleness. She says, "They've taken my Lord. I don't know where they put him." And before they can answer, she hears a noise and she turns around, and there's Jesus. Only she doesn't recognize him. We don't know why. Maybe it's because there were tears in her eyes. Maybe she just doesn't take a good look. Maybe she thinks Jesus is dead, so it just doesn't register that that's who it is standing there. But he says to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom do you seek?" And at this point, she assumes that he's the gardener. And she says, "Sir, if you have moved his body, tell me where you have placed him." And that's funny because he has moved the body, just not in the way she's thinking about. And he's certainly not the gardener. At this point, he calls her by name. He says, "Mary." And that's when she knows it's Jesus. Here he is. He's alive again. And she calls out, "Teacher." And she runs up and grabs hold of him. Now, she wouldn't have done that the way we would do that, just wrapping her arms around him. And the rules were different in that culture, so she would have run up and fallen at his feet and grabbed hold of his ankles. And what Jesus says next has confused some people. He says, "Stop clinging to me. I have not yet ascended to the Father." Well, what does that mean? I don't think it's difficult, and we shouldn't make it more difficult than it is. He's just saying, "Mary, you can let go of me now. I'm not going anywhere. I am going someplace later on, but you're not going to lose me. It's okay." And then Jesus honored Mary Magdalene by making her the first person to share the good news. He said, "Go and tell my brothers." And he doesn't say what we think he will say, that I'm alive again. He says that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. The fascinating thing about the Gospel of John is the way conversations Jesus has with people leap off the page at us. I think the Gospel was written that way, under the influence of the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus is talking to someone in this Gospel, maybe it's Nicodemus or the woman at the well, or even Mary Magdalene at the tomb, We hear him talking to that person, and then suddenly he's talking directly to us. As we celebrate the resurrection and reflect on this passage, I think that's what happens. Jesus is speaking to you today. What is he saying? First thing he said to Mary was, "Why are you weeping? Whom do you seek?" I think Jesus sees us in our despair, and he says, "Why are you weeping? Whom do you seek?" Or, "What is it you are looking for? What are you looking for?" It's a very personal question. I believe that deep down, we're all basically the same. And at some level, we all want the same things. But how that comes out through each of our unique personalities is different. And so some people don't know what they're looking for. Other people think they've already found what they're looking for. And still others know what they're looking for, but they're looking for the wrong thing. Like Mary Magdalene. All she wanted to know was, where can I find the dead, lifeless body of Jesus? She didn't know that God had something far more wonderful in store for her. And this is what God says to us today. What are you looking for? The gospel dares us to believe that God has something more wonderful for us. It is something better than what you are looking for. It is something better than what you have already found. I said earlier that because Jesus lives, we can know God, we can know truth, we can have eternal life, that our life now can be full of meaning and joy. That is just the beginning. That is only the beginning. If you belong to Jesus Christ, if you have been united with him, then whatever it is you find and experience in this life, maybe your life goes exactly the way you want it to. Maybe it goes better. Maybe it goes poorly. In any event, this life here is just the prologue to your story. It's only after death that chapter one begins. So God says, what are you looking for? And challenges you to believe that he has something better for you. The pivotal moment in the scripture reading is when Jesus calls Mary by name. And there is a time in your life when Jesus calls you by name. And suddenly, like Mary, you know. You know that he is alive and he is calling you. And if you have heard that call and responded in faith, then you rejoice and give thanks. And if you have not yet heard that call, there are two things you should do. You should pray. Pray, Lord, make yourself known to me. Doesn't matter if you're not a believer, if you're not sure there's anybody there to hear you. Pray, Lord, if you're there, let me know. Call me by name. And the other thing you need to do is listen. Listen for his call. Because sooner or later, Jesus will call your name. Maybe he's calling your name right now. And how will you respond? Finally, Mary was the first to go and share the good news. But we too are told to go and tell. And if Jesus has called your name, and you have answered with faith, and you know that he is alive, then you have good news to share. Wherever people are hurting, wherever things are broken, you can say, God has something better. And wherever people are cruel, wherever there is evil, you can say, God establishes justice, and the one who will judge the world lives and reigns. And either way, you have a message the world needs to hear. You have a message of joy, the message that God wins. For God has put his hand on creation. He has put his hand upon your life. And he says, this is mine. As I said, that is a God who is worthy of your faith. A God who is worthy of your worship. And that is why we are here. To worship and to celebrate. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead is the most significant event in all of history. It is the most significant event in your life. We have a living Savior. So rejoice and give thanks. Amen.